Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castile with a look at week 3 of the July 2015 celestial timings. And we begin this week on July 15th with the moon passing Mars. Mars being opposite Pluto, Mercury also opposite Pluto, followed by a Mercury-Mars conjunction.
Wow.
So the Mercury-Mars conjunction may be visible in the morning sky. Probably not, though, because Mars is too close to the sun to be seen. Although in the Sky and Telescope, they were saying that there's a possibility if you have binoculars or a telescope or something, you could see them. And they're going to be pretty spectacular to see. And this is all happening in the sign of Cancer. And Cancer, of course, is a water sign. It's also a new moon, Cancer new moon. So this is a really powerful new moon point. And, of course, the new moon point in ancient cultures was really celebrated on the day that you could first see the crescent moon. But our culture has tended to celebrate the new moon when the sun and the moon are exact. And so the moon is not visible. It's the dark of the moon. And it's interesting because the dark of the moon is actually the time for planting seeds and for doing personal intention. And when the priestesses in the temples, the priests and the priestesses in the temples would do their most personal, private ceremonies. So it is great to work with the exact new moon. And then they would do the collective ceremonies and begin the sense of the news phase of the new cycle of the moon when they could see that crescent moon in the evening sky. So in Cancer, it is about how do we nourish ourselves, how do we take care of ourselves, how are we doing that for others, you know, our mental, physical, emotional, spiritual well-being. And I did put in a image for water, because of course Cancer is a water sign, and just some ideas about how you can take care of yourself. I've been doing this practice now for quite a while where I get up in the morning and I just drink a bunch of water, 16 to 24 ounces of water, before I do anything, and it's been amazing. So this is actually comes from a book written by a man who spent time, or I guess he was in an Iranian prison, anyway, and he was a doctor, and the only thing he had to treat patients with was water, and he was able to cure them of all kinds of very difficult things, and he realized that for most chronic diseases, the big issue for people is that they're dehydrated. And even though we drink water, we don't always, you know, think that we're not always drinking enough water, and it needs to be water, not other liquids. It really needs to be water, and that's what he found was really powerful, the healing power of water as medicine, and that it really helps to purge the toxins and cleanse the blood and the lymph. And it's like if you drink a bunch of water in the morning, like 16 to 24 ounces first thing before you do anything, and then of course wait 45 minutes to an hour before you eat, it's like giving your insides a shower. So there's a lot on the internet about that these days as well, but it is a great way to rehydrate your body and to help you to feel better, to help you feel cleansed and nourished. So it might be a great practice to adopt here at this time of the Cancer new moon, and to at least, you know, start your day by drinking water like that. And I will tell you that my great-grandmother died when she was 95, and she started every day with water. She actually did, I think, a little salt water. She put a little salt in her water, and she did that every day. And she was bright and sharp, and the story is that she was walking down the hall and she just dropped dead. So she was actually, which is supposed to be a great way to die, actually, according to the some of the spiritual traditions. So anyway, it's powerful. Drinking water is a powerful thing. So hopefully that will be a practice you feel inspired to adopt if you're not already doing it, especially at this time with the Cancer new moon. And then Mercury and Mars connection also in Cancer. So there's all this powerful energy around the Cancer mysteries that have to do with how we nourish and nurture and each other, but also ourselves. And we need to start with ourselves. So that's my little speech on that, I guess. All right. So the new moon will be visible on, for sure, on the night of the 17th, very low on the horizon. You can probably see that very crescent moon. And then by the 18th, it will be catching up to Venus, Jupiter, Regulus, and the moon will all be very close together on the night of the 18th, and that's going to be spectacular. Not unlike what we saw in June at the solstice when the moon was with Jupiter and Venus, and Regulus was kind of a little bit further above them. Actually, Venus, Jupiter, and Regulus were all in a very straight line, and then the moon came along and created a little triangle with Venus and Jupiter. And then what's going to happen is that the moon is going to be very close to Venus. There'll be a triangle between Venus, Jupiter, and Regulus, and then the moon's going to come along and be beside Venus. And this will represent the eighth gate, the eighth time Venus and the moon have come together since Venus rose as an evening star last December. And we've been calling this the gate of ascension, the eighth chakra, sort of like a, you know, ascension by intention. Or, I don't know, where I just made that up, actually, ascension by intention, that is happening at this particular time. And because Venus is getting ready to begin a new cycle, this also begins that the deepest process of synthesizing all that has happened in her current journey that started last in January of 17th of 2014. And so, again, if you're somebody who was born between January 17th, or had a birthday between January 17th, 2014, and August 21st of 2015, you've been in an 8-year synodic Venus return, meaning that Venus returned near your birthday sometime within that point. And that is if you turned a multiple of 8, like 8, 16, 24, 32, 40, 48, 56, 64, 72, 80, 88, 96, and so on. So, sometimes that cycle can start as much as a year and a half before you have that birthday, or it can start within a few days of the cycle beginning. So it just depends on where you are, and you're located somewhere in the Venus story, somewhere within the greater collective experience of what is happening in the Venus cycle. Which can be really powerful. And we're going to be starting, as I've already mentioned, the new Venus teleclass. So if you're going to be turning a multiple of 8 from August 22nd until 2015 until April or March 31st or April 1st of 2017, you will be in your own personal Venus return. And interestingly, if you have planets, angles, or nodes in Leo, this will also be something that's going to be very personal for you and would be really maybe helpful for you to join in this fabulous community we have that we've been creating around the Venus cycle. So you might want to check out the links of getting connected into the Venus teleclass. Everybody that, we've just gotten such great feedback about how transformative and supportive it's been to work with that. So also on the 18th, Mercury is going to square Uranus, adding a little bit of more of an unpredictable factor, opening us up to receive something that is outside the realm of ordinary reality, and so very powerful. And then on July 19th, Moon, Venus, and Regulus are going to be within a circle of about 5.5 degrees. And, of course, Jupiter will be nearby. It's very much worth tuning into and seeing that because, of course, the night before, you will have seen the moon with Venus, and then the next night, the moon is actually beyond. You don't actually get to see the circle diameter really super close because by that night, the moon will have moved on quite a bit, depending on your time zone and where you're at with that. But it really is a big activation of the heart of the lion, the mysteries of our own hearts, the Sphinx, see Regulus at the bottom of that backward question mark in the sky, which is the head of the lion, and brings to mind the mysteries of these royal creatures and how we are claiming our own royalty, and also connecting into golden ages past, when we remembered that we were divine and we were more connected to the divine. On July 20th, Mercury is passing the stars of Castor and Pollux that are on the outer edge of the sacred hoop. And this is something that connects to the head of the twins, you know, the twins, the constellation of the twins, not Gemini, because if we call it Gemini, then we get confused, because, of course, Mercury is in the seasonal sign of Cancer that comes around 23 degrees Cancer, and that is about 20, where the sun is 23 days after the summer solstice. So it has to do with the seasons. Cancer, the sign Cancer, has to do with the seasons, and the constellation it overlays right now is the twins. So you can think about that constellation is representing duality, good and bad, right and wrong, day and night, whatever that duality might be. So Mercury passing by here maybe brings us messages around our own dual nature, and how can we integrate that to be whole and happy. That might be a question you could tune into. The Sun is trine Saturn on July 21st, and Saturn is retrograde, of course, always retrograde when it is trine the Sun. Any of the outer planets, whenever they're trine the Sun, are always retrograde, either having just stationed retrograde or getting ready to station direct. And in this case, Saturn is going to station direct on August 1st. So it is illuminating that still point, activating the portal to all possibilities. And Saturn will only move 7 minutes before it stations direct on August 1st or 2nd, depending on your time zone. August 14th, Saturn's going to repass this exact sign and degree, and that's when we'll be moving beyond the still point energy at that particular time. So we're in it for almost a month, and so it's a really powerful time to, you know, really be tuning into. And Saturn in Scorpio is like the opportunity to restructure our lives so that we're living from our passion, we're living from our purpose, we're living from the place that is most fulfilling, what we love to do. That is the intention. And if you don't know what that is, then that's the question to be with. What is that? And if you do know what that is, then how can you do it more? How can you create it in a way that it really supports you, sustains you, fulfills you, excites you, ignites you, whatever it might be? So those are some things definitely worth tuning into. Then on July 22nd, we have the Magdalene Feast Day. It was always one of my favorite days of the year, as I've done lots of Magdalene work over the years. And the thing about Magdalene, Mary and Magdalene. Mary is a title, a title of a priestess, and Magdalene is a title of a priestess as well. So Mary Magdalene is a double priestess title and has to do with the high priestess. And so, and, you know, you may notice in the Bible how there are very many Marys, because they were all priestesses in this lineage. And then the Magdalene is also a title that's passed down. So Mary Magdalene was a high priestess. Magdalene is a high priestess, not meaning high as more important, but high as in high vibration. She was a high vibration priestess. And the moon is going to pass Spica on the Magdalene feast day. And of course, the Magdalene feast day is honoring Magdalene as a magnificent light giver. And also as the priestess, even though they may think there's other reasons that they're honoring her in that way. Just something to know. And with the moon passing Spica, which is the brightest star in the Virgin Priestess, the most celebrated star of the Divine Feminine, happening on the Magdalene Feast Day, feels very significant. Definitely worth noting where the moon will be. It'll be a waxing moon on the night of the 22nd, very near Spica. And so when you step outside to see the moon and Spica together, you can think about Mary Magdalene and her really her expression of the divine feminine, autonomous, sovereign, powerful. She was a queen, and ultimately, a lot of the research shows now that she was actually married to Yeshua, and had his children. So, not necessarily what we've been told, but seems to be the thing that has been coming out in many books. One of the first ones I read about that was The Woman with the Alabaster Jar by Margaret Starbird, who actually set out to write the book to prove that those stories weren't true and found out that they were. Kind of interesting. And always on July 22nd, the sun is usually entering Leo, either on that day or one of the days, either the 21st or the 23rd. And it's going to be in Leo until August 23rd. And of course, this is whenever the sun's in Leo, it is all about self-love, self-approval, self-acceptance, self-respect, self-confidence, but especially how all of those things help to serve us in loving ourselves more. So that's being energized also always on the around the Magdalene feast day. And then on July 23rd, Mercury enters Leo. So Mercury and the Sun are very close at this particular time. They will be exactly conjunct, I think, on the 24th. No, on the 23rd. Mercury's catching up to the Sun on the 23rd. So that's helping to illuminate the whole self-love thing and bring in new messages around that. And at the same time, the Moon's going to enter Scorpio, and we'll be transmitting the mysteries of death and rebirth, resurrection, renewal. How do we empower our lives by letting go of what no longer is supportive, is healthy, has aliveness to it, and then stepping into that greater intensity, that greater passionate aliveness that is so much connected to the Scorpio mysteries. And of course, then that means then that the moon is going to be catching up to Saturn, and we will have the first quarter moon in Scorpio on July 24th, so that those themes will continue to be amplified by the first quarter moon. On July 25th, Venus is stationing retrograde. It is the second rarest retrograde, meaning Venus goes retrograde only every year and a half, or 19 months or so. Mars goes retrograde every 2 years, or 2 years and 2 months, somewhere in there. So it actually goes retrograde less often. But Mars is retrograde for 3 or 4 months. Venus is only retrograde for 40 days. So it is the rarest retrograde in the sense that it is retrograde, the only planet that is retrograde only 40 days every year and a half. And I mean, Mercury is only retrograde for 21 days, but it goes retrograde 3 times a year. So that's like 60 days a year. And Venus is only retrograde for 40 days every year and a half. So definitely worth noting. And when Venus goes retrograde, it's a big deal. Definitely a big thing. And of course, this is the final synthesis of the current Venus cycle and getting ready to go into the next Venus cycle that I've been talking about and that you can join in with if you're interested in participating in our online Venus teleclass series that really helps you to tune into the mysteries that it's here. And Venus is very close. In fact, I think I forgot to say when Venus is going into Virgo, and I don't know why I didn't see that, but anyway, it's right at zero Virgo when Venus is stationing retrograde, which is right where Regulus is, so it's stationing exactly with the heart star of the lion, meaning that basically it's been hanging out there for quite a while and will continue to just be kind of stopped in the sky with Regulus for several more days. So we're going to have the moon pass by Saturn on July 26th, and and Saturn has retrograded back into the scales away from the head of the scorpion, and is getting ready, as I said, to station direct on August 1st. So this is the last time the moon will amplify and transmit the mysteries of Saturn in Scorpio within the scales, within the constellation, with the stars of the scales there, and giving us an opportunity to really download the light codes from this part of the sky. It'll be 29 years before Saturn comes back to this place. So very important to tune into. And then also on the 26th, Uranus is stationing retrograde and will be retrograde until December 25th. And so this, again, the retrograde station points are allowing for shifts in perception and that connecting into that still point energy. And also because it's Uranus, it can create the chaotic change, that the disruption that helps us to move into something new that is more empowering for us as well. So then the moon will enter Sagittarius on that day as well. And then on the night of the 27th, we'll see the moon just to the right of Antares around midnight. It should still be in the sky at that particular time. And this is the heart star of the Scorpion. So we've got two heart star activations this month worth tuning into. And it's still kind of a first quarter moon that's going to be passing. It'll be more gibbous moon, I guess, by the time it gets to Antares. And then on July 28th, we have Archangel Uriel's feast day. And the moon will enter Capricorn on that day and activate the galactic cross at the galactic center. On July 29th, the moon is conjunct Pluto, and activating the Grand Cross, that because Pluto's at 13 Capricorn, 42, and that is exact Grand Cross that was exact in April of 2014. As I'm completing this, I have a feeling I overstepped and have put week three and week four together in this recording. So this may be a little extra long, but I guess I'm into it now, so I'm going to go for it. Oops. Anyway, it's too funny. I feel like I kind of dropped into an altered state for a moment and just didn't realize where I was with all of this. So you might want to revisit the information about the Grand Cross that happened last year. And if you have planets, angles, or nodes between 12 and 15 degrees of Capricorn, Cancer, Libra, or Aries, you're going to feel this activation very personally. So on July 30th, the moon is entering Aquarius, and that's opening the full moon window, and it'll be the second full moon of the month on July 31st. It's exact in the early morning hours of July 31st, and it is not a blue moon. Oftentimes called a blue moon when you have two full moons in a month, but I wrote a whole article about why that is, and you can find a link. You can either go to Astrological Sharings on my, or Insights on my website, or you can go to the link in the written version and it'll take you right to the article on understanding the blue moon. But it is interesting to note that we do have two full moons this month, and it doesn't really have anything to do with the lunar cycle. It has to do with the way we have our month set up. And it takes 29 and a half days for the moon to return to full. So sometimes if you have a full moon on the beginning of the month or a new moon at the beginning of the month, by the end of the month you'll have another one, because it's 29 and a half days later that phase of the moon will repeat itself. This one's happening in Aquarius, so very different than Capricorn, because this is the revolutionary energy, the one that's thinking outside the box, that is helping to activate our visions and dreams, and going beyond the confines of the logical, rational mind, and going to the place where true inspiration, insight, innovation, cutting-edge, revolutionary ways of seeing and perceiving reality, coming up with revolutionary ideas, perhaps, are possible in an Aquarius full moon. And I have to say, a few years ago, I think it was in 2004, we had two full moons in July, and one was at the end of the month in Aquarius. And my whole my whole world was absolutely, completely altered and changed with an insight that I got when I was doing a ceremony with my priestess sisters, and my life was forever changed. That's a long story I won't share right now, but I'm just saying this is powerful. So pay attention to what's coming through at this particular time, and it was not what I had no idea that this was what I was going to have as an experience. So the exact full moon is on the 31st at 3:43 a.m. And it's a great time for connecting into the big picture, you know, into the bigger perspective, and going beyond the rules and beyond the shoulds and beyond, you know, what it is that we've decided is how this reality is, and perhaps having an assemblage point shift. And I can tell you that it is very real and possible that that can happen. Also, retrograde Venus will re-enter Leo on July 31st and be again with, it is, has stayed with and has not moved away from Regulus. And so it's activating that. And that, and this really is that point of supersynthesis of the current Venus cycle, and then preparation for the divine solar feminine to step into the new cycle, to, you know, to start her initiation. So there's a completion, a synthesis and completion for the Capricorn overtone that started in January of 2014, and a preparation for Venus stepping into her new role as the queen. The radiant divine queen, sovereign queen, the one who knows who she is, not because of what she does for others or who she's taking care of or what she's doing for, you know, in relationship to others, but her own experience of herself, that self-love, self-respect, that place of self-confidence that she's learning to step into. And so that is the intention. And Venus is, when she's retrograde, is taking a step back to really feel into what that is and what that'll look like as she prepares for her new cycle. So that completes July of 2015.